You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. What we want. You're listening to On the Couch. On the Couch with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and welcome everybody to The Couch. Here on LA Talk Radio, the country's most listened to internet talk radio station. Got a great show for you, as always today, informative, helpful, wonderful guest. And of course, as always, I'm going to open up the lines in case you have any questions or if you would like to email me. I'll give you that email address as well so we can all talk about this really important subject. And I have some questions for you, everybody out there first. So I want you to think about these things, and I also want you to think about yourself if you're involved in some of these problems or if you know someone who may be involved in some of these problems. So let me ask you some questions right now. What does superstar Rihanna have in common with Pamela Anderson, Kim Kardashian, Mariah Carey, and Madonna? What do they all have in common? Well, of course, they're all superstars, yeah. But they all have admitted to being victims of abuse from their partners, every single one of them. Now, even though her ex-boyfriend Chris Brown reportedly beat her up, remember that incident that was involved in the media? It was, I believe, right after the 2009 Grammy Awards. Rihanna has confessed that she still cares for the hip-hop star. He's the love of her life. Okay. Alrighty. Kim Kardashian's ex-husband, remember Damon Thomas? He became abusive a few months after they were married in 2000. In court documents, she claimed, after they split up, said that Damon threatened to kill her and her family. Isn't that special? If you remember, in 2009, Mariah Carey opened up about the mental and emotional abuse that she endured during her marriage to music executive Tommy Mottola. He's the one who discovered her. And of course, this was a while back. In 1998, Pamela Anderson's husband, Motley Crue drummer Tommy Lee, was arrested for spousal abuse. And of course, the unlawful possession of a firearm. That dude doesn't need to be carrying around a gun. Sean Penn, of course, married Madonna. Remember, way back in 1985, that was the big wedding where it was a secret and they had the helicopters flying over the hills in Malibu and all that stuff. And several years into their marriage, the notoriously violent actor was charged with felony domestic assault. Okay, you know, it seems that even superstars make many relationship mistakes. But there are so many women, and we have so many statistics about women who've been abused and battered. And why didn't they see the signs before they got involved with these guys? Why did they stay with these men as long as they did? Well, today we're going to find out the answers to these and a lot more questions here on the couch with my special guest, Felicity Okolo. She's considered an authority on abusive relationships, and she has reached out to help women all over who are victims of abuse or may become victims, so she can help them with the signs of an abusive person with her new book. It's called It's My Life and I'm in Charge. Hi, Felicity. Welcome to the show. Nice to have you here.
Hi, Michelle. Thank you for having me.
What a great book. I really appreciated the fact that you were so candid and open about your own experiences and that you truly were honest about, you know, some of the mistakes you made and what you learned and how you share that great knowledge. I really appreciate you doing that for other women. It's a great book. It's a good read.
Thanks very much.
Sure. Felicity, can you share some of the experiences that really led you to finally write this book about your experiences?
You see, I felt that I had no freedom, and I was not happy, and I was not loved in that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
See, Michelle, how can a person claim to be alive without freedom or happiness or love? Mm-hmm. You know, I was raised with lots of love and freedom, and I'm great happiness. Yeah, because Felicity means great happiness. So I believe if happiness itself cannot be happy in a relationship, why bother? And so I said to myself, you know what? This is not the kind of life I choose.
Mm-hmm.
And when I learned that other women across the globe were experiencing what I went through, I reckoned they would benefit from my experience and learn from it. Because there's a saying that says, wise people learn from other people's experience, but fools learn from their own experience.
Yes.
And that's why I decided to write a book. Yeah, hopefully people will learn from my experience. Yeah.
So true. And as you know, Felicity, domestic violence is the leading cause of injury to women. And according to my U.S. statistics here, it says it's the leading cause, which sends over 1 million women every year to doctor's offices or emergency rooms. And the violence is not occurring from the hands of a stranger, but the hands of the man that has supposedly said, I love you, I want to be with you, you know, all that stuff. God.
Yeah.
You know, we find that domestic violence is perpetrated by mostly men and women as well. Good heavens, yes. I have talked to a lot of battered men, right? You know a lot of battered men. You've helped them as well.
Of course.
But 95% of reported abuse, domestic violence in this country are men. So, and it happens in all cultures, races, religions, classes, and same-sex relationships as well. So, how is it that you got into this abusive relationship? How you married this man who you thought was pretty safe?
Who thought I was? What's the question again, please? I didn't hear you.
How did you get into this relationship or this marriage? Did you feel fairly safe with this man at the beginning?
Well, the relationship or the marriage was sort of arranged, so it wasn't what I wanted in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And I was scared because he lived in London, England, while I lived in Nigeria, and I was very concerned about having to leave my whole family there and go to a foreign country, which a lot of people will know that's what happens in an abusive relationship. Once you're isolated from your family,
right,
you know, it's very, very difficult for you to, you know, get help.
So,
that's how I got into it. And the first few months seemed okay, but very quickly the abuse started with verbal abuse. And so then I didn't even know it was abuse because I thought, you know, probably he was upset. Maybe, you know, I just excused him like most women do. Excuse verbal insult and think that things would get better. But no,
yes,
it just went worse. It got worse, yeah.
Wow. So then he started verbally abusing you and then it turned worse, right?
Yeah, then it got physical.
Mm-hmm.
I think the first physical abuse was, he began verbal abuse while I was pregnant. And
oh my God.
Domestic violence actually increases during pregnancy and when a new baby is born. Many people don't know, and there are various reasons why or speculations why it is so. So he was, because I wasn't working, he was working. I wasn't going to college, so I was at home, and there's nothing to do. So when I finished my chores, I went to bed.
Yes.
He would come home and say, you are lazy, you sleep too much, don't do this. I'm thinking, what is it to do? There's nothing to do. What should I do? Stay awake and do nothing when I feel like sleeping?
Yeah.
So the abuse started that way, and to me, it's like, I didn't know it was abuse. So when the new baby was born, same thing. Oh, you're sleeping too much, you're using the baby as an excuse, and then within 3 months of having the new baby, I was physical assault that I felt, well, I could have been killed. Physically.
Oh, my God. It's my,
we had lodgers in the property who rescued me. Oh. If they weren't there, I think I would have been killed. Because
oh
I was, Michelle, I know that when you are hurt, you're crying.
Yes.
But I never knew that you could be beaten to the extent that you couldn't cry anymore, even though you were in pain.
Mm. Yes.
I was in so much pain, I didn't have the energy to cry.
Right.
I was on the floor, he kept beating me, and they had to literally, a couple, man and a woman had to drag him off me, literally. Pull him off me or else.
Mm.
I would have killed because he just couldn't stop. And I couldn't cry anymore. I couldn't move. I was there lifeless. Yeah.
Yes. You just kind of withdraw. You just turn into this, you know, it's almost like you're in the fetal position. You're being beaten and you're just saying, I'm done. I can't cry anymore. I can't do this. I can't even function anymore. I'm worn out emotionally.
Yeah.
You're hurt physically. And it's a very scary situation. Very scary.
Yes. Very, very scary, because I was glad to be alive.
Mm.
I mean, to have survived that. Mm. And yet, I didn't call the police. I didn't report it, because after then, I wasn't sure what I was going through.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know I could get any help.
Yes.
So I just tolerated it, yeah.
A lot of women do that. You know, they don't call the police, or mm-hmm. for one reason or another, they don't know what to do, if it's their only source of income or their only source of support. And sometimes they just feel like they have to be quiet and stay in this relationship to survive. So, by the way, in case you just tuned in here on the couch with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio, we're talking to my special guest today, Felicity Okolo. She is the author of the latest book, It Is My Life and I'm in Charge. It's a wonderful book to help women specifically out, and I'm not going to disregard men because there are a lot of signs of abusive women as well that can be learned from this book. How to become fearless and trust your intuition, how to become courageous, how to move from victim to survivor, things like that. It's a terrific book and it'll help you out. If you would like to call in and ask Felicity a question, or if you'd like to email me if you're a little shy not to get your voice on the air, you can contact me here at docmichelle with two L's at AOL.com. Or of course the number here live is 323-203-0815. So, Felicity, just for, you know, the information for listeners here, what is that clinical definition of domestic violence?
Well, domestic violence, which is also called domestic abuse, battery, or intimate partner violence,
mm-hmm.
is generally defined as a pattern of aggressive and controlling behaviors from one partner to the other, within the context of an intimate relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Well, these days, definition includes abuse of relatives and in-laws as well, those sharing same dwelling. And the abuse can be threatened or actually carried out.
Mm-hmm.
It can be emotional, physical, mental or psychological, financial, sexual or social isolation.
Mm.
And this abuse happens because the abuser wants to feel powerful and to control you. It's usually called power and control.
Mm-hmm. My goodness,
yeah.
That's so true.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's funny, we just popped up an email here from Therese. Looks like Therese. And she said to your guest, why do we stay in abusive relationships so long? And it's funny because I was going to ask you this question in just a little bit. So let's get it out there and ask. Thank you, Therese,
yeah.
for emailing us. Why do we stay in our abusive relationships for so long?
You see, for me, the three major factors I've discovered that held me back, and I believe hold a lot of women back
mm-hmm.
in an abusive relationship. The three major ones are, one, money or finance.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
For me, because I didn't have any degree as of then, and I didn't have any business skills, so I had no job or business.
Mm-hmm.
So I had no income of my own. And I have a saying that one who feeds one controls one. Basically, anybody who feeds you controls you. You have to
right.
like obey and take the any rubbish they give to you because you want to keep having the support they're offering you.
Right.
So because I was thinking, where will I go? What will I do to look after my children and myself? There were three of them. I was a young girl. I didn't know what to do, so I stayed.
Mm.
And the second major factor, which is, I call it knowledge and relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. We don't learn a relationship in school. So we don't really know what a healthy relationship is and what unhealthy one is.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, all I knew as of then was that physical violence hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
I totally ignored the emotional abuse, the mental abuse, the social isolation, the financial abuse and the sexual abuse. All of this I ignored. I only knew that, you know, physical violence was not good.
Yes.
And so these women also, women kind of live in denial.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this abuse, probably they hope it will go away. But because some of us are not sure what the relationship should be with there as well, and think that things will work out well and maybe make excuse for him that
mm-hmm.
maybe he's going through stress, or maybe we have, oh, we have these financial problems, it will go away once money is fine. No.
Mm-hmm.
So the third reason as well, I think, is the cultural belief. I call it beliefs and value system.
Yes.
So the beliefs, you have religious beliefs, you have the societal beliefs and values, then you have your family stuff. So for me, as an African Catholic.
Yes.
And so my cultural beliefs and my religious beliefs and doctrines kept me there, because Catholics are not allowed to divorce.
Mm-hmm.
But these days, things are different. So the church actually knows that, or have begun to accept and a bit lenient on that. And we actually say to couples, if this is not working,
yeah.
it's best to stay alive and be apart. Yeah.
Right, right.
So as of then, that was 19 years ago, things were so different. I was so concerned. I was worried. I was thinking, what would my family say?
Sure.
What would the church say or do?
Right.
How will the society react? So all this kept me in there, these two major factors.
Mm-hmm.
And until I said to myself, you know, to hell with all of this.
Yes, girl.
I want to live, yeah. To hell with all of this, I want to live. Because
yes.
I believe that somebody has to be alive to
yes.
actually obey any traditions and doctrines
mm-hmm.
or any beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I believe that if a 7-month-old fetus in the womb can survive without the mother,
mm.
then I can survive because of my faith in God and my belief.
Yes.
In there, I know if I live, I'll be provided for. So the fear of unknown is what actually holds women there. If you're thinking, you don't know what it's going to be like out there. But for me, I think there's more reason why you should go.
Yes.
Because if you're alive, you have faith and belief, you'll be provided for, because you don't know how you breathe, though, Michelle. You don't even see the air you breathe, and yet you breathe it in every day.
Yes.
You know, all has to do with trust. So,
yes.
These are two major topics, I believe, that keep women in abusive relationships, and women must do whatever we can do to make sure we are financially secure ourselves.
Right.
And not to live in denial.
Mm-hmm.
And to make sure that this cultural beliefs or religious beliefs and values has to be reviewed or cracked.
Yes.
So I need to be safe, because commandments are made of humans, and not humans are commandments. That's
mm-hmm.
what I say, Michelle.
Yeah, so true. Did you know anything mm-hmm. about your husband before you met him in that? Did he have a pattern of abuse before you married him, or was he... Did he have some traits of anger or control or anything like that? Or was this just one of those, like you mentioned, arranged marriages where you didn't really
yeah.
know the guy?
Well, Michelle, even if you know your partner before getting married, a lot of them are very charming at first.
Yes, they are.
There's no way of telling.
Yes.
And they disguise certain abusive characteristics or traits as sign of massive affection.
Mm-hmm.
And also, because the woman is probably highly in love with them, you too tend to believe that it's massive affection for you.
Mm-hmm.
You probably ignore your friends and family because you're in love. It's like when you're in love, love is blind.
Mm-hmm.
You're kind of blinded by all those things until
yes.
you're then truly isolated. Then you begin to see all this pain, and then you think to yourself, oh God, what have I done?
Mm-hmm.
And probably by then it's too late. You're already isolated from your family. You've abandoned them.
Mm-hmm.
And you have no one to turn to. You feel trapped.
Yes.
And then you begin to plan what to do, how to get out of this. And there seems to be no way sometimes.
Yes, yes, exactly. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, throughout your book, Felicity, you talk about your cycle, you know, of abuse. And when I guess stages that you started sort of noticing that you talk about now in your book, the most common controlling tactics that abusers use that women, and as I mentioned, I don't want to be discriminatory, but out of, you know, 100%, only 5% usually of severe abusers are women in a male-female relationship. But there's different controlling tactics, and we just touched on abuse, verbal abuse. We touched on, you know, emotional abuse. What should some of the women be aware of before getting into a relationship with someone? I mean, I don't want to cause a lot of women to be scared or paranoid or anything, but what are some of the signs that they could look for that indicate this person may be abusive?
One, I would say, I have a video I've done, I'm not on Facebook, it's on YouTube. It's called Breaking Domestic Violence Cycle, that your listeners can actually go and access. It's called Breaking Domestic Violence Cycle by me there on YouTube.
Breaking Domestic Violent Cycles?
Cycle, yes.
Okay.
So they can watch the video there. I won't go into that now.
Great.
But I have two major factors, so two major things that I believe women should look out for.
Mm-hmm.
One is isolation, like I've spoken about earlier. Isolation is a major thing. So abusers know that once they isolate you from your friends and families and even the authorities, they can control and abuse you and get away with it.
Mm-hmm.
So it is best, I say to women, it is best not to give up your friends and family because your partner has issues with them.
Right.
Because it is a warning sign you must look out for. They start by, maybe your friend is Mary. Oh, Mary, I don't like Mary. Mary doesn't like me, so for that reason, Mary shouldn't come around. I'm not happy with you hanging out with Mary, all those things.
Yes.
Or your family, your mom doesn't care about me. She pretends she does. You know. Then you just come up with an excuse. And women then decide, okay, to make sure this relationship works.
Right.
Maybe, you know, forget about the family or the friends and stick to the man. That's mistake number one. Once you're isolated, he has you in his control. That way, he can abuse you and you have no one to run to, basically.
Right.
Number two, the other other tactic is controlling behavior. They want to control what you wear, where you go, what you do, and with whom. And at first, most women think that he's being very caring and protective.
Mm-hmm.
He might even tell you that that's the reason why he's doing it. Mm-hmm. But I'll say to women, do not believe him, because soon those what not to wear becomes, you must not wear this, you know, the tone changes. I've told him several times not to wear this. I've told him several times not to hang out with Mary. He won't listen. And then things escalate and get worse.
Mm-hmm.
So women must be on the lookout for such behavior. There's very, very a good total sign to look at for the isolation and controlling tactics such as this.
Yeah, that, you know, it's true. Isolation and control. And of course, they isolate, the controlling and abusive man isolates you because, again, you don't, like you said, have anyone to go to talk about the abuse. If you're removed from friends and family members, then you won't be able to really tell them, is this weird? You know, I came home the other day and he was really mad and he didn't like the way that I cleaned this up or said that I was a lazy bum, and then he pushed me against the wall, hit my head. I mean, you don't have anyone to talk to. And like you said, of course, the controlling behavior. You know, you have to do this, you have to do that, you have to behave in certain ways. And, you know, the power, financial control, verbal abuse, like you said, criticism, cruelty, that kind of thing. You know, so that those are really huge signs to look for, that women should look for. And it starts out sort of slowly. It can start out, right, Felicity, from a verbal abuse and then more like isolating you and then criticizing you and then start controlling your behaviors. I once had a client who was so abused by her husband that he would not let her go to the bathroom by herself or take a shower by herself because he wanted to keep an eye. Yes, he wanted to keep an eye on her. So she had to leave the door open to go to the bathroom and take a shower. Yes, very sick. And I said, wait a minute. No, she said he would sit there and watch me because he had complete control over me. And I said, wait a minute, you need privacy when you're going to the bathroom. And she said, well, I had none. So, I mean, it got that weird. It got, you know, I mean, that's really, really horrible.
I mean, you have the freedom. To them, it's like you belong to them. You're the property.
Yes, exactly. And that's a really good point, too, you know. By the way, if you just tuned in here on LA Talk Radio, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle and my special guest today. She is an authority on abusive relationships. She has written a book. It's called It's My Life and I'm in Charge. It's Felicity Okolo. It's a wonderful book and helps women out and men as well. If there are, you know, abusive women in your life, guys, I'm not closing the book on this. I'm keeping it open. But 95% of the abusers in this country are men. But she's teaching you how to become fearless, what signs to look for, how to kind of have big visions and dreams and kind of move on from being a victim to survivor and a lot more. This is wonderful. She also has a really good video up and running called Breaking Domestic Cycles on YouTube. So check that out as well. It's really important. I also want to talk about, you know, the personality profiles of some of the men. We talked about, you know, how they manipulate people, but they have like three, what they are called, personality disorders, right, that you've read about. And I know it's different in the UK in terms of the mental disorder, you know, categories, but they're pretty much the same, right, when it comes to the narcissistic man, right, when it comes to what they call antisocial personality disorder. And you've heard of those before, Felicity?
Yes, Michelle. You see, to me, those are just terms, mm-hmm. and you see a lot of abusive men, but that's normal.
Mm-hmm.
So there are actual cases where probably they have some kind of disorder, but a lot of the time, these are just normal, ordinary people that believe they can control you either with the three major factors that I've mentioned earlier, or because they've been abused when they were younger,
right,
or witnessed abuse and really do not have a clue what a healthy relationship should be or what even love is all about.
Right.
So how they've been raised then determines to them it does what a relationship should be like.
Mm-hmm.
And also, if maybe they weren't abused, if they were witnesses, the anger that has been built up or the pain of witnessing that then begins to affect their adult life, that because they haven't dealt with it or gone through counseling or any kind of therapy to help them,
mm-hmm.
they begin to unleash all this pain upon their partner.
Mm-hmm. So true. Yes.
Any medical term will, you know, just for me is a term. I just think then some need help. Some is just out of control, really. Some actually, they come from a good background. They should be fine. But because they believe that I provide for you all this, or I'm 10 years older than you, you should behave like my daughter. I can control you anywhere. You must obey. Mm-hmm. Like my ex-husband used to say to me, you must be implicitly obedient to me. That's his word. Implicitly obedient to him. It's like,
right,
whatever he says, do not question, just do.
Yes.
And I was thinking to myself, you think I'm a child? Even if we're a child.
Yeah.
It's not have a right to express their feelings or their opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So imagine such people. And till today, till tomorrow, this man has refused to acknowledge that he did any wrong to me.
Of course. Right. That's a narcissistic... self-entitled, clueless, unfeeling personality disorder, and also the culture, you know, Felicity, the culture, the patriarchal, you know, women should be seen and not heard. Women should be under a man's thumb. Women should do what their man says and live under their control all the time. You know,
I believe the world is missing out big time from that. You know, women not to be seen, to be seen and not heard, or any part of any BS, you know. The world is missing out big time because women, I believe,
yes,
have more to offer. Actually, women are more intelligent than men somehow, and women have been known according to statistics, to be better bosses than men.
Yes, exactly.
If we have a chance for women to lead, I believe, Michelle, we'll be in a better world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Women, because of the abuse we go through, or because we've been told to just be seen and not heard and to be treated like second class, mm-hmm. women hide a lot of their talents and their skills and their beauty and their power, mm-hmm. just conform
yes.
to that society to believe.
Yes.
And it's so wrong. It's so yes. wrong. The world is missing out so much. I just hope that most women will just go out and be themselves.
Yes.
Because when you shine, you're giving others permission to shine. So I refuse to be hidden. I
yes.
believe I'm a light.
Yes.
No, I couldn't live under the shadow of somebody who abuses me, thinking that, because if I was there, by now, I'd have been killed.
Mm.
No, people wouldn't benefit from my gifts, my talents, or this story now. Another thing that benefit from. So, women,
yes.
you are all light. You should go out and shine and be you, because you make the world a better place than letting one person control you. One can make a difference in 1,000 or more people's lives.
Mm. As you are doing, by the way, Felicity. Can you share with it's true. Can you share with our listeners some of the strategies that you use to slowly move out of this abusive relationship? I think a lot of women, you know, would like to know how they can slowly take what steps to get away from these abusive men.
Yes, firstly, I think it was mental preparation.
Mm-hmm.
Once I decided to leave, I had to prepare my mind for the unknown.
Mm-hmm.
Because the unknown is quite different.
Yes.
For many women. But like I mentioned, the three major factors are common to most women. In addition to these three major factors discussed earlier, I had immigration worries.
Right.
And I was quite young and inexperienced. I was then 23, 24.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I was in a foreign country without family. So my decision to be alive and my faith in God to take care of things and guide me was all I had.
Mm. Yes.
And I also had a simple but very efficient makeshift safety plan.
Mm-hmm.
These days, there are well-structured plans that women could follow called safety plans for women who are coping with domestic violence or who are planning to leave the relationship. Because the time that women leave relationship actually is the most dangerous period that women get killed, really. So women should be very careful. So for me, the plan that I had did help me.
What was
my simple plan,
yeah.
Michelle? My simple mm-hmm. plan was to keep the back door leading to my garden and the door that led, because we had a very good neighbor who were my friends. We had an adjoining door from our garden to their garden leading to their home.
Uh-huh.
So my plan was to leave the back door that led to my garden unlocked, and also to make sure the garden door that connects our garden together was always unlocked as well.
Yes.
That way I can escape, or my children could actually go through and get help.
Yes.
And that simple plan actually saved my life, Michelle.
Mm.
The last physical incident that I almost got killed as well. There's my 3.5-year-old, my first child, was able to use the back door
Good.
To access the adjoining door, and went to my neighbor's garden at about 6:30 in the morning to get help, because it's like he walked into the garden crying, calling out my friend's name, and for them to see him through the window, they knew something was wrong.
Yes.
They went down to the house, and went, mommy wants you, mommy wants you.
Mm-hmm.
And then they could hear me screaming once they opened the window, and then they ran to the house and rescued me, because this man was beating me with a stick.
Oh, my God.
By this time, I'd already fallen into my baby's cot.
Oh.
And three of them rushed into the bedroom and held him. That's how I was saved. We called the police and the ambulance. The simple plans in place and mental preparation are quite key
yes.
to living. But it took a year, because when I wanted to leave, I said to God, you know what, I don't care how you do this, but I want out. Just help me get out of here.
Yes.
Anywhere, safely. I want to be out safely. So it took a year for a way to be made. But throughout that period, I've been planning mentally and kept make sure the doors were kept always open.
Mm.
But unlocked, not open. because he doesn't check. So I knew I had to have a schedule. Yeah.
Right. So when he was arrested and went to jail, right?
He wasn't put in jail. I think he was arrested. He was charged and we went to court. You know, Michelle, again, is me, and like most women, they arrest the abuser's spouse, and then the woman decides either to drop the case or not to press charges, and the man just gets away and commits worse.
Right. Right, and a lot of... Yeah, it's true. Go ahead.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I had an option of either him being charged or sentenced, but I said, no, I don't want to press charges. I just want him to stop abusing me, like what most women do. A decision I couldn't have regretted.
Mm-hmm.
So he was asked to, I got an injunction against him for 6 weeks to stop abusing me or threatening me with powerful rights.
Mm-hmm.
So we lived in the same house. He stayed in a separate bedroom while I was in the master bedroom that we shared. Michelle, a day after the injunction expired, guess what happened?
Yeah.
Massive threat happened. Mm-hmm. And I think a week or so afterwards, that's when I had to escape because this is going to kill me now. It's like, I'm going to kill you. And
oh, my God.
Yeah. So I think a week after that, that's when I left. And that's me, you know what? If I stay, I'll be killed someday because I was so afraid.
Mm-hmm.
Now, because normally I lock the door at night to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
But I went out one day, I came back, the locks on all the doors in the house were gone. I couldn't lock the door. I didn't have any money to buy another lock to keep it safe. So how could I sleep in that room where this man can walk in anytime and kill me?
Yes. Oh, my God. I don't know how you ever slept.
Yeah. No, I wasn't sleeping.
So you finally got out of there. You finally escaped. Here they call them shelters, women's shelters in the U.S. So you finally escaped and got your children with you. And you did, with the help of a lawyer, you finally got a divorce from this guy.
Yes.
And so I do know that you had to share, well, you had primary custody, right? You had to share custody with this guy?
Well, not share custody. I didn't let him see them because I was scared he was going to kill them.
Yes.
And that period, there was a lot of cases where men or fathers were killing their children just to get back at their ex-wife.
So that
was quite a scary period for me.
Yes.
And because I knew he didn't care about his children, I just didn't want my kids to be killed because he wanted to get back at me, so I wouldn't let him see the children.
Yeah.
But after a while, he took me to court and he was given contact. And I insisted for their own safety, they must meet in a contact center supervised so that he couldn't take them out.
Yes.
And there were people supervised making sure that my kids are safe. So that did help me at first. Then it progressed to him taking them every other weekend.
Right.
Just a few hours for 6 hours for visiting at his property.
Mm-hmm.
That was quite scary for me. I had God to guide my children. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's what happened.
So at this particular point, he's not in the picture at all. You have protected your children from him mostly?
Yes, yeah.
Good for you, honey. And so what gave you the strength to get yourself back to school, you know, get a part-time job, and continue being a wonderful mother to your kids?
Well, I guess that my faith and determination to be successful, really. You know, Michelle, when you have strong faith and belief in your creator, to me, God, and in yourself, and you are determined, you'll move mountains.
Mm.
I was in survival mode, and survival mode is like all the adrenaline or epinephrine, or what, maybe like it's called there in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
You're so charged up. I had to survive. I had to survive for my children and for myself. My survival goals were not low. No, no. Mm-hmm. My goals were quite high.
Yes.
Because where I've always wanted to be, and also because of the stigma attached to lone parent families and their children,
mm-hmm.
and also my race.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So statistics has it that, as of then, had it that black boys from lone parent families
mm-hmm.
were twice as likely to end up in jail.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I did not want my sons, because I had two sons, I have two boys and
yes.
a girl.
Yes.
I just don't want my son to be statistics.
No, exactly.
So I aimed so high. high. I aimed to attend the best science college in the country, and I did.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my standard. For my children, and also for me to set the hustle for my children, and also to enable me to secure a job when I finish my education.
Yes.
And
yes.
The good news is, they all worked.
Mm.
So now my sons are actually role models.
Yes.
Instead of statistics.
Oh, good for you, honey. And your relationship with your kids is great. And they respect mom.
Yes.
Oh, good for you.
Thank you.
That's wonderful. And, you know, you are an inspiration to so many people, so many women who've been in abusive relationships. And you got the strength to get out. You almost died. But thankfully for your escape plan and the neighbors and, you know, you got the help you needed. You finally got out of there. And now you're alive to write this book. It's my life and I'm in charge. Where is the best way that people can find out more about you, Felicity, and also get a hold of your book?
Forget the book. My book is widely available from large good bookshops, mm-hmm. and from Amazon, Barnes & Noble, online, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And also from my website, FeliciaColor.com. And that's where they can get more information about me from my website, FeliciaColor.com. And I'm on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube. And connect with me and subscribe to my news. I have a weekly newsletter where women can get access information and getting help coping, surviving, and conquering domestic violence.
Mm-hmm.
They can subscribe on my website. And also, I have done some series of videos about questions that people ask about domestic violence that they can actually access through my website
great.
For free.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
So people can get help from you as well. Listen, Felicity,
yes.
You've been a fascinating guest, and I thank you so much for being so, you know, open and vulnerable about your life story and how you got through it, and also for writing this book to help people and, you know, women get through and overcome and also prevent themselves from getting into possible abusive relationships. Again, the book's called It's My Life and I'm in Charge. Felicity Okolo, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you very much for having me, Michelle.
Well, take good care, and so much luck to you, and thank you for being out there to help people.
Thank you.
I'm very happy for you and your life now. All right.
All right. Thanks very much.
You're welcome. Take good care.
All right.
All right. That's Felicity Okolo. By the way, I'm going to have all this information up on the archives of my website here on LA Talk Radio. So if you'd like to listen to the show, if you missed some of the information on surviving abuse, some of the characteristics of abusers, information like that, it'll all be up probably this weekend with content and more information on how you can get help. I do have a few more emails coming in, but maybe somebody missed the program. This is from Amanda. She said, what are some of the characteristics of abusive men? Sorry if I missed that information. And I'll just give you some of the information I have here, Amanda, as a psychologist. There's control. That's like the most common is characteristic. It's, you know, just any kind of verbal abuse, controlling your finances, keeping you isolated from your friends and family, criticism. And this control, any kind of control. Where are you going? What are you doing? What are you wearing? You can't do that. You can't drive the car. You can't, you know, that kind of thing. There's also entitlement is another characteristic. It's a belief in having special rights, right? I'm entitled to tell you what I like you to wear, what I like you to think, where I like you to go, justifying the unreasonable expectations, you know. And it's that whole sense of narcissistic entitlement. There's a selfishness, you'll see, self-centeredness. And again, that's narcissism as well. Superiority, thinking they're superior. There's a contempt for women as stupid, unworthy, a sex object, or, you know, whatever. You start hearing language, you start seeing things. Possessiveness, of course. Looking at a woman as your property. There's confusion because many times there's a love and abuse. There's a pattern of adoring someone and saying, I'm so sorry, I will never hurt you again, I love you, and then having a temper tantrum, blowing up, and then abusing you again, and then the cycle goes on. You're in pain. You've got bruises. Please don't go to the doctor. Please don't tell anyone. I love you. I just get upset sometimes. So there's that confusing love and abuse cycle that you see as well. The manipulation goes along with that, with the control and everything. There's denial and blaming others. Well, they made me mad. Well, I have a rough time at work. Well, my parents were mean to me and I was abused. That kind of thing. Those are just some of the signs that you want to look out for, Amanda. And I thank you for emailing me here at docmichelle@aol.com. Are groups, is therapy helpful to batterers? Yes. To abusers? It can be. Sometimes the courts force them to get therapy. Sometimes families force them. They usually don't go because there's a narcissistic element, like it's the world's fault and not mine out there. But what does help these men a lot of times are abusive therapy groups. The men have to be held accountable for their behavior by the other men in the group. And if they have a really good facilitator or therapist leading the group, it focuses on respect, effective communication skills, honesty, how to cope with handling your emotions and anger management. And individual therapy is also great because it takes you out of, the group, and then you have more one-on-one time to express yourself without the interruption of others. But in this one-on-one therapy, too, you need someone who's really strong, a therapist who can really confront that, abuser and batterer and make them become accountable for their behavior. But yes, group therapy does help. Individual therapy does help occasionally. But more important than that, it's seeing the signs for women and, of course, men who are abused in relationships. But more so women. It's seeing the signs, identifying them, and then knowing how to either get out of the relationship or knowing not to get into a relationship with someone who's exhibiting some of these behaviors. That's the way to do it. All right, we're out of time. This is Dr. Michelle, and I thank you. It's not such a happy subject here on the couch, but really hopefully will be of help to a lot of people listening and understand certain behavior patterns of abusers. And how you can help yourself if you're in that kind of relationship. Help your friends, help your family members, and all that. All right. As I always say, do take care of yourself first, and then you'll be great for other people. Have a great day, and I'll talk to you next week. I've got another fabulous guest on to help you get inner strength and improve your self-esteem. Take good care. Bye-bye. Just the same.